Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English, from tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda
to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. COVID-free now, officially. And so we'll be here talking all things Club America in English. We'll break down that thrilling 4-2 victory over St. Louis City. And then, of course, we'll preview the big game in the quarterfinals against Colorado Rapids. And joining me tonight to talk all things Club America and much more, it is none other than Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, man?
Good. Just chilling, man. Very hot day, at least to me. I'm always going to be complaining about the heat, whether it's actually hot or not. But I took a shower, feel a lot fresh. But you know how it is. Within the 30 minutes, you start sweating. So.
Yeah, no, it's
expect me to be sweaty during this because I think it's going to get hot again.
Well, we'll put you more in the hot seat a little bit later on as we talk Alvaro Fidalgo news. And that's something that just broke recently right before we started podcasting as well. So we'll discuss that and many, many more things about it. But yeah, let's dive right into it and let's talk Club America and Leagues Cup. So last time we spoke, Chris, we spoke about how well we saw a reaction from America, right? They got a little bit sucker punched against Atlas. They got a goal scored on, but they were resilient enough to come back, find that second goal, and kind of ride the match off. This game, though, against St. Louis, it painted to be a whole different story, and I guess we might as well just dive into it, right? It started off perfect. America going into this game, attacking, looking like the threat that we all expected them to be, and, I mean, capped off by a beautiful goal by Brian Rodriguez, and really, honestly, it looked like it was going to be one of those nights for America. Talk to me, what went wrong for America in this game?
I don't know. It's hard to say because the game was so, it was filled with emotions, right? I think that's one thing that everyone's going to, you know, no matter your take on Leagues Cup, I think this game really, like, dragged us in, right? Whether you're with it or not. And to me, that's what happened. You know, was it a perfect game? No, I think there was moments where you feel they were overly stacked on one side. I don't know if that's how you felt, but I felt like there was times where we were open on one side, but we're kind of forcing it during the other way. I feel like it was the same way with the Atlas game. You know, to me, there's not many complaints for me. I think, you know, like I said, I wanted a competitive team, and I feel like that's exactly what they gave us, a competitive game, competitive team. I like the subs we made. There's not much that I didn't like personally. I think the concerning thing is just that two games and you're still getting injuries, right? That's the thing you don't want to see. And that's probably my biggest complaint is that you're kind of you're overdoing it and you're getting these injuries. And you have to really protect your players in this type of game because whether you value this tournament or not, I think we'd all agree this isn't the most important tournament that we're going to be facing, that we're going to be having this season, you know. So, like I said, I don't really have much to complain about. I was okay with how the game went out.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to kind of notate, right, is the fact that two games in a sequence in where you consistently lose players due to injuries. And I think, like you mentioned, right, that's the most worrisome sign. But prior to that injury to Javito, America looked very, very good, right? And it looked like we were going to see maybe an America of the past where they go, they score four past St. Louis, and, you know, we just kind of all rave, and we're going to see all those kind of TikTok edits of Club America as prime Brazil and this and that. And things were progressively going in that direction. And then I think, obviously, the injury it's a big blow to America's system and to the philosophy of the way that they wanted to play. You lose a natural winger in Jovaito, and then you have to kind of supplement him with, you know, throwing another midfielder there. You force Fidalgo to go wide, and that's not really his game anymore. And so it does frustrate a little bit in that sense. But I mean, you got to give credit too to St. Louis. I don't think they necessarily put their hands down whenever they did get punched. And they made life difficult. And it's funny because we were talking about them last week, and, you know, we mentioned about the fact that last year they were coming into this competition as first place. This year they were coming in as 13th place. And funny enough, we expected a much more difficult game last year, didn't get it, but this year a much easier game on paper ended up being a little bit more of a difficult matchup, which I guess is the narrative of Leagues Cup, right? I mean, just look at Mazatlan and what they're doing over on their side of things. So yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. I think this game was always meant to be it was always meant to be exactly the way that it played it out. I was speaking to some people from St. Louis, and when they asked me for a preview of this matchup and what I expected, and I mentioned to them that I expected a highly contested matchup, and I think we got that from both sides. You know, St. Louis has St. Louis has something to prove, and America also had something to vindicate themselves, because in this round last year we were eliminated in penalties, and so it was important to go out on a big high and win this game, and win it we did. But was there ever a point when we were two down that you just thought this might not go our way?
Surprisingly, no. Well, maybe not go our way, but like I said earlier, you know, there was a moment in the game where I stopped and said, all right, how are they playing and how do I feel about this? Because like I said, you know, for me, it's like, I don't want to sit here and sound like, oh, if we lose, it doesn't matter. No, it matters, right? But I looked at it more like, okay, the four games, how did we play? The two friendlies with the European teams, how did we play? And there was a lot of complaints, right? And my mindset was always, well, Jardines gave us a bicampeonato. He gave us a Campeones de Campeones, a Supercopa MX. Like, I think he deserves the patience and the trust, right? And I also said in past the podcast that if there's failures, it's because the front office hasn't brought in that left winger, right? But kind of. Not necessarily scapegoating them, but kind of saying, you know what, like, how much do we believe in Brian Rodriguez? And in this game, like, when we were 2-1, I was looking at us playing, and I was just like, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay with this, you know, because we're playing good. We're being competitive. They're being competitive, too. You know, it's not like you're playing just by yourself, right? It's not just a one-team thing. They were playing good. So I wasn't necessarily saying, oh, we're going to lose this game, but I was just kind of like, okay, you know, this is a competitive game. We're playing good. It's not one of those games where you're just seeing them stand there, just kind of not doing anything. Everyone's being competitive. And so I was okay with the performance, really. And then once the goals came in, you know, that first I was more upset with the penalty that they took back, because I do think it was a penalty. I've seen debates on Twitter, and I don't necessarily agree with the mindset that, oh, because they hate here, this and that, because we've all seen calls plays like that be called because of intention, right? And to me, when the ball's going up and you're jumping and it's hitting you there, there's an intention for your hand to block it, right? So that's how I took it. But other than that, you know, I was okay with how we were playing, and there wasn't really doubt, but I was comfortable with how the game was going.
Yeah, at moments of the match when we were still 2-1 down, especially after that penalty got called back, it felt like frustration was trying to seep in, but the America players persevered through that. And it was good because it was a very wonky America. Let's not forget that, you know, even though, yes, we brought in Diego Valdez, you know, Chiquito Sanchez was still out there, Hidalgo, you had all these creative players, but naturally speaking, with the formation that you were playing, it wasn't a natural formation for America. It wasn't something that they constantly practice, you know? And so, again, kudos to the fact that America was capable of, you know, digging themselves out of a situation in where they put themselves into, because you can't give away a penalty the way that you did, and you can't give away a goal the way that you did in the second half. So kudos to the America players for that sense. You're right, Chris. I felt like this was a very highly contested matchup. It felt very competitive, and it felt like America players wanted it a little bit more than the St. Louis players. And I think personally, they were looking at this and they were like, we cannot exit out of this competition in the same way, in the same fashion of where we were the dominant team. We let the lead slip, and then, you know, it was because of our own hubris that we weren't able to make it into the next round. And so I felt like there was moments in where frustration was trying to seep in, like I mentioned, and it just felt very much composure from your leaders, from your Diego Valdezes, from your Fidalgos, from, you know, from your Lichinovskis, where it felt like, okay, we need to start move the ball around, but with purpose, right? Because it's one thing to just pass the ball here and there, but there's got to be motive. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be that kind of precision in the final third. And we found it, right? And it was a great ball by Richard Sanchez to put the ball into a very dangerous position. And Diego Valdez, who I think is probably one of the best headers in the team, right? I highly think that he needs to be in the 18-yard box whenever we take corners, rather than him take the corners. And I think we're losing on a dangerous threat with him taking the corner kicks. But I think once that goal goes in, you just felt like, okay, America's back. And surely enough, right, we get the penalty, we get the call, we get the goal. And even that last play, Malagón could have easily just grabbed it, fell on the floor, rolled over 12 times, killed time that way. But that competitive nature, that drive, you know, instinctively in Malagón just punts it, right? He 100% was looking for the goal. And that was probably one of the worst punts I've ever seen from a goalkeeper trying to score. But kudos on Buffalo Aguirre to, you know, win both those aerial duels. Did you think he was going to win it the way that he did? Or did you think that, you know, St. Louis was going to find a way to get that ball back?
Oh, man. I'm not even trying to not make it sound like a joke, but I feel like MLS defenses do stuff like that so often that I just kind of, like, yeah, he's going to win it. In the moment, I really wasn't thinking it, though. I was just kind of just watching the play. But looking back, it was more of like, okay, like, because I watched another angle where one of the defenders could have easily just headed it. But he does a chilena, and it's
I don't know why he tries to do that.
It is like, why would he do that? And I think the keeper even told him, like, bro, what are you doing? Like, after that, but it was like, I was like, man, if he just headers it, right, he easily, like,
yeah, wins he gets that ball back.
Play, but instead he went for a chilena. And he went for a chilena, and then the keeper, like, you could tell he was gassed from all that running. He looked so gassed. So yeah, I there was in doubt that he was going to score that.
That was the icing on the cake. It was just a majestic goal in all senses. Because if you go back and you look at this goal, and I'm sure everyone has seen it by now, listening to this is just, I don't know, it's just, it's chaotic, but it's majestic at the same time. And you felt after he won the first one, he's going to win the second one. And the way he takes off, the way he just makes the keeper go the other way is phenomenal. And I'm be honest with you, when he shot it with his left foot, I was like, this is where he's going to miss. He's going to find a way to kick the ball softly. And he does kind of actually. Berkey gets really close to getting a hand on it. But it goes to the back of the net, and it's just euphoric feeling all around the grounds, all around, you know, the homes of Americanistas watching the game. And yeah, sensational. Cherry on top, 4-2. I mean, game match said and done at that point, right? But did you feel before that goal, though, that America was going to see it through?
Yeah. I thought they were pushing. They were still pushing. And I tweeted out, you know, I thought, you know, these are the type of subs that you want to do from Jardinet too, or any coach that we've had, where it's like there's an impact. They're not just there just to be there, you know. And I felt like every guy that we subbed in had an impact. You know, Borja pushed the ball more forward, which is exactly what we want. Richard Sanchez came in, you know, but that pushed Chiquito more forward, right? So to me, like, everything, even the Aguirre, right, which there is some stuff from his game that I'm not a big fan of, but it's not necessarily his fault. It's more of his style of play. It's that when the box gets crowded, he doesn't know where to go. And that's one thing that I've always praised Henry Martin. You know, when he had his drought where everyone wanted him gone, I said, look, like, if there's one thing that he does is that he knows how to pull his mark. And there were moments in the second half where he just didn't know what to do. He was kind of just there in case the ball lands on his feet, you know. And yeah, you could see that Valdez or other players were just like, you know, they were kind of like, hey, get out the way because I'm trying to make this run. And so that's the only complaint that I have from the sub. But other than that, like, they all made impact, you know. And it's perfect to have a player like Aguirre who, in the counter, right, is going to push through. You know, and so you know, like I said, like you said, it's chaotic, and I think for next year they're making an argument like, hey, we could go to the States, California, and have these home games, you know, and I think it's a realistic conversation that we're gonna be having soon, that California is gonna be the home for America. I don't think they're gonna play anywhere else, honestly. Like, I mean, do you remember any game where America has had these type of games in other states? I don't even think Northern California, America, has had these type of games, honestly.
No, I didn't.
And I could name several America games in Carson, you know, like,
yeah.
We're talking about Leagues Cup, Interliga. We used to have some intense games. I remember I went to a game when it was like a doubleheader. Maybe you remember. What year did Cabañas have his accident? Like 08, 09?
No, Cabañas had his accident, and yeah, like, was it? Yeah, 09.
So that summer, they had a game, doubleheader, and America tied with, like, I think Atlante or Tecos 3-3, you know? Like, I really do believe that we're going to have those conversations with America hosting games, league games here in Carson or in California.
Yeah, I think California seems to be the hub for America. But really, honestly, they could get a crowd anywhere. But as far as games and memorable games in the States, you know, far and few come close to what we've seen and what we've witnessed here in Southern California. So, yeah, it's going to be a good discussion to have next year whenever they do start kind of fine-tuning their Google Calendar and be like, okay, we're going to be flying here. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be seating here. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether or not they do decide to stick with Southern California or what this kind of U.S. tour is going to look like for America. But as far as this game goes, you know, it was phenomenal. It was great. And I think it's like we mentioned, right? Something that we definitely wanted to see from America was intensity, was a drive to not lose. But most importantly, it was to be competitive. And they've done so within the first two games. And so the road's not going to get any easier now. You're going up against a very good, solid Colorado team that, you know, did against Toluca nonetheless. So, again, it'll be interesting. It should be fun. But we'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, ultimately, America 4-2 against St. Louis. Wasn't as easy of a matchup as we all intended it would be. But at the end of the day, America still ended up scoring 4. Against St. Louis, and I guess that's just starting to become tradition, Chris.
Yeah, and, you know, and the best part about everything is that we're getting into the form we've been asking, right? Mm-hmm. You could just imagine the conversation we would have had if and we don't have, we don't participate in the way we're participating, right? If we go and we leave the league with 4 games, 2-2, and then the way we played in the friendlies, you would have probably been, we would have been here kind of saying like someone has to like wake up, right? It would have been a whole different conversation. And right now we're, you know, I think, I don't know, I haven't really been following everyone else, but I would argue that we're the number one contender.
And like you mentioned, right, give props to Andre Jardine. He came out and he said, look, we're going to be a much more competitive America. We're going to be a much better looking America side than you guys have seen us in the league. And 2 games down, and he has kept his word. This has been a much better America side. And granted, we've had some injuries. And to say that, and to still see a very good America side gel is impressive, right? And we'll see what happens against Colorado. It's not going
to
be easy.
And to top it off, you know, he asked for Brian and for Richard to stay, right? That's the reports that came out, that he asked them to stay. And they both made an impact in this game. So, you know, like I said, I didn't want to lose my head with how the team was performing early, because Jardine has given me, or given us, the vision that, hey, it might look a little weird right now, but I could fix it, you know. So I'm comfortable with him, and you know, hopefully this continues. Hopefully, you know, injuries respect us, because that's the only concern, right? Because there is positions that don't have the strength, right? Mind you, he's playing with Nestor Araujo out there, right? And a lot of us don't, if not all of us, don't like him, and he's performing too, you know, maybe not to this higher standard or higher you know, level that most of us would probably want, or that some of us believed he could have brought to the table when he first got here. But hey, you know, he's performing, so there's no complaint there. So let's say he brings the best out of Nestor Araujo. Now you have 4 center backs that could easily start in any team in this league, right? So, you know, God bless us, because, like I said, if we don't suffer any more injuries, this team could be very, very dangerous, and hopefully it leads into the next year, because there's going to be tournaments that we're going to play where we're going to need the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's important to kind of get everyone on the same level and get everyone kind of firing on all cylinders. And this is ultimately, we all knew that this is what League's Cup was meant for, right? And it's the same thing as last year, right? It helped catapult the team forward. And it's looking like it's doing the same thing again this time around, right? Unfortunately, though, we do need to kind of sort out the situation with the injuries and what is this formation going to be looking like. The transfer window hasn't closed necessarily. There's a couple moving pieces still going around. And so there is a little bit of loose ends to kind of take into consideration. But all in all, yeah, it looks like this competition is doing just that. It's getting us into kind of prime America. And I can't stress this enough. It comes at a right time, because after League's Cup, you have to be staring down the face of 2 Clásicos back-to-back. With the exception of Puebla. But, you know, even then, that game can find its way to be a little bit tricky as well. So, yeah, good to see that America performed in the way that they did. Good to see that, you know, they did what was asked of them, was, you know, get into the next round, play some good football, score some goals. And really, honestly, I don't think anyone that was at the game, I don't think anyone could walk away disappointed, because that game was phenomenal. And anyone who stayed up late to watch that game, I don't think has anything to complain about either, because, again, it was a very good contested matchup that I think was well worth the money. So, again, good performance, good stuff. And now you move on into the next round, into the quarterfinals. New territory for Club America, and we'll see how they, you know, chart their course to hopefully advance into the semifinals. Before we talk semifinals, before we talk about Colorado Rapids, let's talk specifically transfer news, because it seemed like it was going to be another one of those quiet weeks, Chris, but just hours before we were going to hop on and talk on the podcast, news broke that Álvaro Fidalgo looks to have something concrete of an offer from Europe, and America has about 10 days to kind of decide whether or not they're going to let Fidalgo go. And if they do, who's going to come in and replace, well, not necessarily replace Fidalgo, because I think we already have his replacement, but who do they bring in now that that foreigner spot is available, is going to become available? So just kind of give me your two cents on everything.
You don't want to see him leave, right? I think that I don't think he's having the best start of the season. I don't know if you feel the same way. I think it's not that he's playing bad, right? But it's not to his level, which I'm sure he'll get into that level later on in the season. But still, it's a big loss. I think it's too much of a player that wins the midfield and consistently wins it and consistently has the ball on his feet that it's hard to see anyone else in that midfield or in the team. Honestly, I think Sendejas might have an argument, but other than Fidalgo, it's hard to see anyone be that point guard, right? Be that point guard in basketball that always has the ball in his hand and is always gonna play for everyone else, right? So, you know, it's hard to say whether he leaves or not because, you know, we don't know the team that wants him. I think if we knew where he was going, it would be a lot easier to say, oh, yeah, we're not accepting that. Or, oh, yeah, he's not going to go there because he's not going to play or whatever, you know. But that being said, you know, if he leaves, you have to bring in a top left winger. You know, it's still the topic of conversation, right? It's still the biggest need. Mind you, you know, I'm going to give Brian Rodriguez his flowers. I think he kind of toned it down a bit. Said, hey, I could be that guy if you allow me to, because look what I did, you know, this past week, right? I can be that number one winger if you just give me the consistent plays. With that being said, you still have to bring someone, right? You can't just sit here and say, oh, Brian, you're the guy. There's no one else behind them. And that's the scary part, right? Because we're talking about Javairo getting injured. Now you have to move Brian on that side. And it's like, well, we're still stuck in this position that very uncomfortable, you know. So for me, hopefully Fidalgo doesn't leave. I would really invest on a young Mexican player because I do think there's options for a kid to really compete for that spot. You know, I don't necessarily think he comes in when he plays, right? Whether it's Jurado or anyone else. I don't think they come in and play right away. But I do think Brian has given you enough to doubt him and believe in him. So like I said, if Fidalgo leaves, you have to go and spend that money because him and Quiñones are leaving a lot of money, right? And you already brought in Chiquito Sanchez just in case Fidalgo leaves. So you have to go and invest in that left winger. My gut tells me it's going to be Victor Davila just because I think it's common sense to bring in someone that knows the league that you could just plug in and maybe the ceiling isn't high. But one thing that Jardines team has shown is that he loves players that are able to play in multiple positions, right? And he could do that. So, like I said, I don't want Fidalgo to leave, but if he does, hopefully we invest big on that left side.
I agree. I think we need a reinforcement, regardless if Fidalgo leaves or not. We need a reinforcement on that left hand side. So we need something figured out soon, hopefully. With the whole Fidalgo situation, whether or not, you know, I think 99% of Americanistas, with the one exception, and Brian, I mean, Chris, I think, you know, I just said his name, but I think Brian's the only exception of the one Americanista that would want to see Fidalgo leave. Yeah, he does so much for the team, and sometimes he doesn't even need to be at his best in order to come kind of make an impact. And I think that should speak volumes, right? We're sitting here and talking about Fidalgo and not having the best start to a season. And yet he's been so detrimental to this America side and what we produce going forward that, again, it's just, it's difficult to see anyone else slot in and have that same impact. Now, I don't think losing Fidalgo is the end all be all, especially if you have Chiquito who can potentially, hopefully, kind of do the job. And so then you kind of mitigate with that and then you get a really good left winger and the team somehow finds a way to balance itself out. At the end of the day, the mastermind behind it all is Jardine. And so depending on what he sees and what he thinks is right for the team is how the team will advance. We'll just have to wait to see what this Fidalgo situation is looking like. I think it's going to be a crucial couple of days for America, right? And I think we're going to hear and maybe see a couple of movements depending on what this situation looks like. But if we had to give a percentage, I think right now it's 50-50. You know? And you're right. And it would help if we knew exactly what club was coming in for Fidalgo. But, you know, let's give America the benefit of the doubt. And let's say that it is a promising club and it is a promising amount of money. I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see what America does. And, you know, you can't hold anything against Fidalgo if he wants to leave. You know, he came, did his time, conquered. I think we'll make an argument of maybe one of the best eights in an America jersey. And that's a huge number next to the number 10. Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's no complaints where there was times where we complained how conservative he was, right?
But yeah.
Now, after seeing why he was, right? Because he's not, he can't shoot. I think we all agree that he can't shoot. So yeah. Now it's like, okay, I understand, you know. I understand your play. But at the end of the day, you know, he does so much on the field. And it will be a big loss. But like you said, it's not like, oh, man, we're going to go from the number one team to number 10 now. It's not, you know.
No.
I tell people this, the same thing with Quiñones. Quiñones was a great player. I know you might disagree with that statement. But he made impact in games that we needed to win. And, you know, shout out to him for that. But it was also one of those things where it's like, we're not a one-player team, you know. There's key players, but then there's players in other positions that step up.
Yeah.
For the longest time, what did we do? We talked about the three attackers, right, where it's Valdez, Henry, Quiñones. But there was a lot of times where Sendejas was the better player out of the four, right? And mm-hmm. we never mentioned them. So we have players that always step up. Same thing. Israel Reyes, who would have thought he would have been stuck to that right back and had this type of impact, right? So yeah. We have players. Same thing, Jonathan Dos Santos. At this age, did anybody think that he was going to step up? And we don't give these players flowers, right? But my point is we would have to have a very similar situation to the 2018 team, right, where everyone leave. All these key players all leave. And the ones that stuck were the ones that necessarily didn't show their potential, right? Like there's Roger Martinez or players like that.
Yeah.
So for me, like if we lose Fidalgo, it would hurt because we already know what he's gonna bring to the table, right? But it won't necessarily bring us completely down. I think that, like you said, Chiquito Sanchez could, you know, and he has shown in these games that him and Valdez together, you know, it could be very dangerous against other teams' defenses.
Absolutely. So we'll see how this unfolds, right? And make sure you guys follow us over on Twitter at EY Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas and América, and especially with these latest transfer rumors. And we'll see. I mean, Fidalgo goes, Fidalgo stays. We're giving it about a 50-50 here on the podcast. Again, that all could change. That all could change in an hour. You know, one of the top reporters comes out and says, you know what? Fidalgo decides to stay. Fidalgo is leaving. We'll just have to wait to see which way this all ends up playing out. So, but again, it should be interesting. Should be fun. And yeah, I guess nothing to do now but wait. And while we wait, we might as well just touch on the subject of America's next game, which is again going to be at Dignity Health Sports Park as America continues to host games in Southern California, primarily at Dignity Health Sports Park. Again, it's starting to feel like home. You know, the Home Depot Center, Chris.
Yep. Hey, like I said, man, you have some classics there, right? I didn't even mention the Cruz Azul America Interliga final that we played there. And like,
yeah,
Gerard debuted against us in the Galaxy there. You know, like we've had real big moments. big moments there. And like I said, the stadium is small, so you don't want to call it home, because how do you compare the Azteca to?
Yeah, yeah. No, of course.
You can't, right? But it's a very comfortable vacation home, if that's how we want to paint it as. It's
very
comfortable, and we've had moments there, and very comfortable moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, not just comfortable moments in the sense of easy games, but also...
One title there.
Yeah. That's very what I was going to go to that, too, as, you know, America's lifted trophies there. I mean, recently, right? Just two, three months back as well, winning the Supercopa MX there, you know.
Campeones
a couple years back as well.
Interliga.
Just a bunch of stuff that America has been able to conquer in Southern California at that stadium. So it truly does feel like home, especially for older Americanistas that know America's kind of rich ties to Southern California and primarily Southern California, because I say that America's featured in Los Angeles plenty of times, right? They've played at the Coliseum a multitude of times. I think they beat DC United to lift the trophy there back in early 2000s. You know, we've had friendlies at the Rose Bowl, friendlies at, you know, different venues in Pasadena and Los Angeles. And so, yeah, 100%. Southern California is, and I think will continue to be, the home of Club America. You just have so much Americanistas in this area. And so it just makes a lot of sense. And so that home fortress will continue to be the case as America faces off against Colorado Rapids this Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 Eastern. Chris, whenever you saw that we were going to get Colorado Rapids, what were your thoughts?
Well, I don't want to be disrespectful to them, because I do think they're going to be a very challenging team. I think high altitude versus high altitude, right? They play in Colorado. They upset Toluca, but if you were going to tell me, hey, pick a side, Toluca or Rapids, I'm picking Rapids, because Toluca is a more known opponent. They've come to be a headache against us. So I was kind of, you know, happy, you know. And like you said, you know, it's cool to have the real home field advantage, right? We kind of talked about the percentage against St. Louis, how it was 80-20. Brother, that was 100-0. If I'm being completely honest with you, that was a...
That was 100-0.
I don't think I saw.
That was
not even a Rams jersey.
There was a one St. Louis fan that the Apple TV cameraman, I mean, kudos to them. They found him whenever they went up 2-1 and he just had a St. Louis scarf up. So, I mean, kudos. It was 99-1, basically.
Yeah. So I'm expecting the same thing as the Rapids, honestly. I'm not expecting a Broncos jersey out there either. I'm not I'm expecting it to be a home game, and more that it's on a Saturday. Like,
yeah, that's like, what I'm
I got an email. Too. I got an email and I didn't even know that they were selling it until someone told me, like, oh yeah, they're almost sold out. And I click, I'm like, whoa, like this dropped like 5 minutes ago, and like there's not a lot of seats. And trust me, they promote like these games. I don't know if you guys follow the broadcast page on their Instagram, but they're like, I'm always getting messages like, oh, like buy these tickets. And so I'm expecting another 100 and maybe like 100% to zero again. Like, that's what I'm expecting, you know, but like, I am excited for this matchup, because it is cool to see America play against teams that aren't from the league. Right. And you kind of see maybe, How do I explain this? You see the ignorance in one another, right? You're the opponents, that it's cool to see a team like St. Louis go out and attack us, while other teams in Mexico don't necessarily go and attack us, if that makes sense. They'll try to hold the lead, they'll try to get the tie, and in this case, they would hold the tie to go to penalties, right? And you saw it in St. Louis, they came and attacked back, and And I think that's what brings out the best in us. When they attack us and we win the ball back, hey, man, we're going forward and we're going to, you know, Brian Rodriguez, who would have thought that he would have done that first goal, right, how he did it? So I'm expecting a very high volume game. And like I said, the Rapids are a high altitude team just like us. So they're not going to get tired and we're not getting tired either.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. You know, they're sitting right now fourth place in the Western Conference. So they've had themselves a pretty decent season so far. I think they're looking to kind of continue to be on that good run. And obviously they're using this as preparation to the playoffs for their season as well. And they're looking at this game just as much as St. Louis was looking at this one as, you know, kind of being the David in the Goliath situation, right? They're coming in as underdogs and they're looking to kind of upset, you know, the bookies and come in and kind of ruin a Club America's party. So I do think that this is going to be another one of those highly contested matchups. And now this time you're going up against a team that, like you mentioned, has a sense of what high altitude is. And so it should be fun. It should be interesting. When talking about this matchup and talking about this game at Dignity Health Sports Park, the one thing I noticed that on Tuesday that they didn't do is that they didn't open the top part of the stadium. And I'm looking at the seats right now. It looks like they're not opening it up again. So that is interesting because it is a Saturday game and tickets are selling a lot more faster now. I'm seeing a lot more resale tickets rather than actual tickets from the original vendor. So it'll be interesting to see what the stadium is going to look like. It's going to be packed. That's for sure. That looks like it's going to be a given. Just a bit curious, though, as to why they wouldn't open up the top part, you know? That's the only thing that I'm kind of questioning. They do that a lot, though, in the Tour Aguila. So whenever America does come here, they do have a tendency of not opening up the top part, of the second story of the seats for the stadium. And so I don't know what the reason behind that is, and I don't know what the reason behind this Saturday is, but I guess we'll see whether or not they open that up. But going back to Colorado Rapids, I saw someone post on Twitter that this is the Claudio López Clásico. Seeing as how...
Oh, you played that?
Yeah, Claudio López played in obviously with us, Piojo López played with us, and then ventured over to MLS after being here with America and ended up going to Colorado Rapids and playing over there. So I guess another way that these two teams kind of correlate, it will be the first time that these two meet. I think I want to say that with my full chest out and say that this is the first time America plays Colorado.
They're an OG team. It's possible that we've played before.
So,
but
I might be wrong, but in the meantime, as well, I do a quick Google search and again, showcase as to why we should probably do our homework before we come on to the podcast. Talk to me a little bit of what your predicting starting 11 is going to be like, especially with the fact that, you know, we have a couple of injuries. Borja came back and he looked great, by the way, in the second half.
Yeah.
So do you start him? Do you think Javito will be back in time? Do we risk him? Do we not? Like, what is this makeshift starting 11 for Jardine going to look like?
So I'll go with Malagón starting at net. I have Israel Reyes, Cáceres, Igor. I will give Borja the start because I think Fidalgo ends up playing that left wing. So, yes, you have a Fidalgo on the left wing. You have Brian on the right wing. You have midfield. You have Jonathan Dos Santos, Chiquito Valdez, and you have Henry starting at the nine.
Okay. Where do you have Chiquito?
Right next to Jonah.
Right next to Jonah. Okay. Yeah. Then, yeah, I can see that happening. Okay. All right. But before I jump onto that, Jose Sepulveda is saying, Dominguez Hills has a contract with the Galaxy stating that during weekdays, they can't have more than 20,000 people at a game during weekdays. Well, look at that, Jose Sepulveda coming with the trivia knowledge. That's good to know. It's good to know. Now the only question is,
wouldn't it not make sense because of the Saturday?
Well, yeah, this Saturday again. I don't know why they haven't opened up the second floor, which I'm sure they will if they see that the demand is there. Which is crazy. I would have thought that the man would have been there by now. But again, we'll have to wait and see. But going back to your starting 11, I like it. I honestly think it's the best that we got, really. It's what we got and it's what we got to do. So with the hypothetical of that, you know, Jardine comes out with this formation and with these players, what do you expect to see from them? Do you expect it to kind of be a blend of what we saw against Atlas and St. Louis? Do you think we get to see a much more different America side, or what do you think we're going to see?
I do think it's all going to depend on what Rapids brings to the table. I don't think Jardine is one of those coaches that just says, you know, go out there and just dominate them, right? Because that could really bite you in the behind if you try to do that. So for me, I think we're gonna sit back a bit. We're gonna have possession. We're gonna push forward, but we're gonna try to read them. You know, yes, we're gonna challenge them as well while we're doing that. But it's not gonna be like in the second half of the St. Louis game. I think it's gonna be more of like, okay, let's see what they bring to the table. How do we expose them? And when we expose them, that they're just like we find a weakness. That's when we're gonna just continue to push forward. So. You know, I'm expecting a very balanced game. Maybe, you know, hopefully the defense looks better, right? Because yeah. I think someone pointed out that, you know, it's not good that we're getting scored on every game, you know. And I completely agree. Maybe, you know, going back to the starting 11, maybe Nestor Araujo starts again. You know, I really wouldn't be surprised. I think there's another conversation that we should be having is that Gossett is another player that could end up leaving, right? So how much do they kind of not, like, you know, maybe his agent's out there saying, hey, there's offers that are going to come in and he's getting injured, so let's not ruin this, you know? You know how politics could end up being, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are questioning Nestor starting. So, like I said, you know, I think we're just going to wait. We're going to be patient. And then the moment they show us something, we're going to be attacking that week.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that we need to be assertive from the get-go. I think the perfect way to put it is, you said it multiple times on this podcast already, it's a little bit of a boxing match, right? You kind of jab, jab, jab here, jab, jab, jab there, and just kind of see and wait out to get a feel of what the opponent has in mind. You know, I expect the Colorado Rapids that is going to try to kind of bring the game to us. And if they do, then great. That means we're going to be able to attack a couple of spaces. How great is that if we're not going to have two prolific wingers? I don't know, but I think we still have speed and capability to kind of exploit them. But Colorado, I think, is going to be no pushover either. You know, if they do come in and they do attack us, they have pace. You know, they have players that are going to be capable of kind of turning us around. And so it'll be interesting to see how defensively we work this game. But most importantly, we need to have a much more better game in the defense than we had in these past two matches. Something that we've heavily, heavily praised this America side has been the consistency that this backline has shown within the past year, right? Clean sheet after clean sheets. You know, being the best defense in the league, you know, practically two times from the Apertura to the Clausura. They've showcased that they are a very solid unit at the back. Recently, they have not showcased that. They have seemed sloppy. They've given up silly mistakes. And so I think that's an area of focus that I think we need to see tighten up, especially in this game against Colorado. And if you could do that and you know, you can keep it at a stalemate, you know, you push the game in a certain direction. And so I think that we can see an America side, you know, push through a different avenue and hopefully find a couple of chances to score some goals. But like I mentioned, I don't expect Colorado to be a pushover. I expect them to come in with their game plan. I expect them to try to disrupt us. But I expect us to be the better team. Because we are, not just on paper, but I think, you know, showcased exactly why it is that we're in this situation. And so now you just got to go out there, own the game, own the moment, and I guess just, you know, take it to them, really. And you can't be wasteful. You have to be mindful about the opportunities that you're going to get. And you have to finish your chances. Because the St. Louis matchup had a perfect opportunity. A demonstration. Had a perfect demonstration of what happens when America doesn't finish their chances. Do you remember the play that happened right before the penalty that America conceded? Not the penalty, but the goal that we conceded. Right before we get scored on, America had an opportunity to make it 2-0. It was like Brian passing it to Diego, and then Brian didn't shoot. And then right after that, we got countered. But they wasted that opportunity because they wanted to be cheeky. They wanted to be fancy. They wanted to roll the ball right through. Literally, they wanted to walk the ball past the goalkeeper. You can't do that sometimes. You just got to have to blast it, put the ball in the back of the net, or finish your chance and kind of have a new play. Because you get caught flat-footed. You get caught catching, you know, other players, and you're winded and you're just all over the place, and then you get conceded on and it looks bad. So we'll see whether or not America has learned from that, and if so, hopefully they take their opportunities and they take their chances. Manuel Paredes saying, I don't know why people are saying that Fidalgo has offers from Europe. He's not gonna leave. That's just fake. I don't know why people are falling for that. Jardines not gonna let him go. He's important. So Manuel Paredes maybe joined a little bit later than when we were talking about it. From what we have an understanding is that, you know, Fidalgo's rumor has some traction to it. We don't know whether or not he's gonna leave. We put it at 50-50. But one thing is for sure, he is important, and then we do agree with you on that, Manuel. And me and Chris have kind of said it time and time again and repeatedly already in this podcast, is Fidalgo's the engine of this team, and losing him would be detrimental. But again, it wouldn't be the end all be all. We would have a way to find a way to kind of recuperate and continue to push forward, just like, you know, teams eventually have to do, because this is football and players don't play forever. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, anything else? Anything else you're looking to specifically watch or see in this game against Colorado?
Well, just like you brought up, the count getting countered, right? I don't want to see us be just pushing, because what if we do have that lead again, and it's like, oh, they feel kind of dead, right? They're a fish out of the water. We could do whatever we want. Like, let's not get overconfident, right? Let's relax. Let's push the ball around. Let's make them create have the errors instead of us, right? And you know, it's funny because I kind of forgot about that goal, but I remember running to the living room and telling my dad, "Man, like, because we were watching, what was the game before that? I think it was Tigres and New York, I think.
Yeah, I think it was New York.
And they had an exact moment, and my dad was like, "What do I always say? If you give up, if you don't take advantage of your opportunities, they will, you know." And he said it, and I ran to the living room and told him, just like you said, you know, you don't take advantage of your opportunities, you're getting scored on. He was just like, it always happens. And so that's one thing that I do want, you know, take advantage of these opportunities. Don't be fancy. Just don't try to sit here and try to make a highlight. It's cool, right? But they overthought it. Like, if you're Henry, if you're Brian, if you're Valdez, believe in yourself, because you're here for a reason. You know your quality, everything, right? So, you know, it was a bad pass to Brian, and we got countered off of that. And I think the defense in the midfield probably said, "Oh, this is they're gonna score. We don't need to really be on our A game in this play, right?" And what happened? We ended up getting scored on, and it happens. But that's the focus, right? That's the focus that the offense, that everyone needs to have. That, hey, you know, if I have to drive myself with the ball all the way, you know, I'm gonna do it, because it wasn't our favor to get to score in that play.
No, yeah, absolutely. And so finishing chances, that's going to be important. Taking your chances is going to be even more important. And so I think we need to refine ourselves in those situations, and like Jose Sepulveda saying, right? El que perdona pierde. And so, America no puede perdonar. America needs to kind of be clinical and ruthless and go from there, really. But look, honestly, this is going to be a great matchup. It just pains for it to be so. And now that we're hyping it up, watch it be a boring, like, 1-0 win for America or something, you know? Like in the most dullest way ever. Like, you know?
That's where I'm going to come in and be like, man, we need to be more competitive. Even if we won.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, I'm looking at this game on paper. Both teams coming into this one with something to prove. You know, Colorado desperately looking for an opportunity to kind of upset the bookies, and America desperately looking to continue to build and continue to grow and showcase as to, you know, why we are the favorites coming into this. And I don't know if you've been listening to the Apple TV broadcast, but they all painted like that. They all painted that America is the heavy favorites coming into this one, right? They paint us in a light that, honestly, a lot of Mexican reporters would be very, very upset at, mainly because it's just America. And whenever America gets painted in a good light, a lot of people in Mexico don't like that. But yeah, you know, a lot of narrative, a lot of pundits, a lot of people, a lot of MLS experts coming into this and talking about America and talking about how, you know, the campeones and the expectations and this and that and how we're playing and all this. And so, yeah, we have an expectation, not just from ourselves, but from our neighbors as well, that, hey, you know, they are the favorites and it's for a reason. And so we'll see what happens, you know. Should be interesting, should be fun. But yeah, should be a good game. Manuel Paredes saying, Néstor Araujo, el peor defensa. Ramón Juárez, el mejor. Con Néstor recibimos goles. Y con Igor Lichnowsky y Ramón Juárez o Sebastián Cáceres no recibimos goles. OMG, I just don't like Araujo in defense. Manuel, welcome to the party. Welcome to the podcast, because we share your same dislikes and likes. Because trust me, nobody here is happy about Néstor Araujo playing over Ramón Juárez. We have speculations that, you know, there's indications from above Cardenas saying to play him. Whether that's true or not, that's hearsay. But yeah, Chris, I think we share in Manuel's discomfort in having Néstor Araujo play, right?
Yeah, we got our conspiracies. We feel the same way, you know. But hey, if Jardinek could bring out the best in them, you know, I have no complaints, right? I think at the end of the day, what we all want is everyone performing at a high level. And, you know, like I said, believe in Jardine. And if all of this is just to boost up Néstor Araujo's value, right? Mind you, he had an offer with the Greek team just last season. So maybe it's just to get the value up and send them out there. Who knows? It's kind of late in the transfer window to really think about it like that. But I mean, we see the crazier stuff, right? So we'll see what happens there. Yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. But all right. I think now it's time for predictions. Give me your prediction for Saturday.
I'll go with a 3-1.
3-1.
I think the atmosphere is gonna, you know, it's gonna be the same thing. Mind you, this was on a Tuesday, right? So now just imagine on a Saturday. So
Saturday night,
I would like to think that.
Absolutely.
Saturday night at 7. Carson, you know, LA.
It's fresh. You know,
summer. Exactly.
Not that much traffic. Yeah, no, it all paints in a good lighting for America in that sense. 3-1. I like it. I don't like the fact that we concede again. So I'm going to go and repeat my 2-0 prediction. It just seems to be the trend, and I'm going to keep going with it. I'm going 2-0 for this game as well. I'm going America locking it down in the defense. And then, of course, two goals up top. I'm going Henry, and I'm going, you know what? I'm going Brian. In Brian we trust. All right?
On the right side?
On the right side. He's going to find a way.
I'll go Henry I'll go 2 Henry, 1 Valdez. I think Henry needs to start scoring some more. Which he hasn't been playing bad either, you know, but it does feel like, just like Hidalgo, they're not playing bad, but they're not to their level. It's more of like they're starting slow. They're not, like I said, not playing bad, but it's just not their standards.
Yeah, and that's crazy because Henry's been scoring like, you know, maybe every other game, which is good for a striker. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. You know?
But throughout the game, it doesn't necessarily feel like he's having this impact the activity that you want him to have, right? He has been scoring, he has been assisting, but it feels like activity, right? He's not moving a lot, he's not dropping down like he normally does. I feel like it's more like he pulls his mark and everyone else gets open. And hey, no complaint for me. Like I said, I value those stuff, but I do think it's his standards have been way higher these past maybe two years, right? 3 years.
So. Yeah, no, they have. They have. 100% they have. All right, but that'd be great. 2 goals from Henry. I know Dylan would listen to this and just going, yeah, absolutely. Manuel Perez going 3-1 or 2-0. So he just fell in line with exactly what we said. So
you said, I like both of you. I'm gonna agree with both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Manuel. Chris Ramirez going 1-0 for America. I like the fact that we have a clean sheet. Not liking that one goal margin makes me a little nervous, but still, a victory is a victory, and on to the semifinals, America would go. But yeah,
no penalties.
Absolutely no, please no. God no. But yeah, hopefully America can get it done in 90 minutes. Hopefully we see a good game. Like we mentioned, look, this game paints for it to be an entertaining matchup. I expect, like I mentioned, Colorado to come in, try to disrupt us, do their thing. America is going to come out, play their game. Hopefully it overtakes the whatever Colorado is trying to do. And, you know, we kind of see the game out. But yeah, highly intense matchup. I expect it to kind of be a little bit, not necessarily back and forth, but a good tug around to see, you know, who's going to control what at what sections and what time and what periods of the match as well. So yeah, it should be fun. Should be interesting. Keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América at Eagle Eye Podcast over on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll get you guys caught up. And minute by minute, AJ is going to get you guys GIFs and video reactions of the goals and everything. So look, it's going to be fun. Should be good. And yeah, we can't wait for Saturday. Should be a fun one. Manuel Perez saying, para mí, Diego Valdez scores or Brian 2. And Henry Martin as well. So look at that. He's just agreeing with all of our takes here. Gotta love it.
As long as there's goals, brother. Because like I said, penalties.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night, that's you're sleeping late. No matter the result, you're sleeping late.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. But with that said, anything else to add on?
No, just maybe just the Kevin Alvarez and Sendejas. I think they're like 2 weeks away of like returning.
Yeah, so they're still a little bit far out. You know, we'll keep an eye out. We'll keep an eye out. They very much key players. One's our definite right back, and the other one is our definite best attacker. You know, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, that does it for us. We just want to say thank you to all of you guys, Manuel, Chris, Jose. All of you guys in the chat, thank you so much to all of our listeners right now, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, wherever it is that you may listen to us. Thank you so much. Make sure you guys do leave us a little review, maybe a 5-star rating if you feel as generous, or do you think we deserve it or not. Maybe give us a 2-star rating and tell us why. Why is it that
some breaking news.
Oh, we got some breaking news. Okay, what's going on?
Well, not breaking news, but now we know where the offer is coming from. Carlos Rodriguez Hernandez from Fox Sports says that it's coming from Russia. That the negotiations are not in advance. It's just an offer. It's not an advance offer. So, as of right now, you know, that 50-50 is more of a maybe 20-80.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 30. If it's Russia, Fidalgo stays.
Yeah. I don't know how they'll be able to pay, because, I mean...
Yeah, they got a whole stuff they would have going
to,
on.
They have to activate the release clause. This will be the same thing as Luis Chavez. It won't be an easy negotiation.
Yeah.
So they would have to pay. I think, how much is it? How much is the release clause? It's a very high release clause, by the way. So isn't you would like have 15? To pay it. Yeah. So that's the only way if he pushes through it. But yeah, if it's Russia, I'm not.
I'm more than confident saying that Fidalgo stays. So I guess we'll see. But look, this, like I mentioned, this is what we're going to start seeing. We're going to start seeing a lot more development. I'm going to start seeing a lot more names. And yeah, keep an eye out over on the EOI podcast. We'll filter through all the news and get you guys the most concrete evidence and the most concrete news possible. So that way you guys have up-to-date news and you guys aren't filtering through it yourselves. But yeah, with that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. And yeah, let's see where our adventure in the League's Cup continues to flow. But again, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you've had a good evening here.
Always, brother. I'm always ready to talk about America. And, you know, I'm excited this League's Cup. I complained about it, but hey, like.
Look at you. Look at you enjoying League's Cup.
When your team is playing good, bro, how can you complain, you know?
There you go.
Now, if we lose, I'm going back to everything I've said, but that's until we lose or not.
All right. I like it. All righty then. Well, again, thank you so much taking the time out. Thank you to all of you guys. We'll be back again next week. You guys stay safe. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.